The Associates Co provide reliable, fully trained professionals to assist you with running and scaling your property management department, providing high-quality, pre-trained virtual assistants ready to hit the ground running and revolutionize the way you run your portfolio, ensuring your time is spent doing the high-value tasks inside your rent roll that really matter. Not long ago, VAs within a business were considered a luxury. Now they are a staple for any business needing reliable support without the headache of traditional staffing. To find out more, head over to theassociatesco.com. PM Collective is a leading platform supporting collaboration, not competition, for an online community and events throughout the year with one purpose: to create happier property managers. The PM Collective creates connections for property managers looking to create momentum within their careers and personal life. Join me and my guests as we discuss challenges, struggles, mental health, mindset, and give advice to property managers and anyone in the industry. To find out more about our memberships, visit pmcollective.com.au. Today, we have Katrina Tarrant joining us, and Katrina is the CEO of Harcourts New South Wales. Katrina, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So just give us a little bit of a rundown about or introduction to yourself and where you were before and where you are now.
Ah, thank you. So I like to say a lot of people are foodies. I'm a real estatey. Everything about real estate I love. Everything that's great in my life has come from real estate. Friends, experiences, everything. I started my career in 1994 as a real estate receptionist. I have held every single role in a real estate office, and I started my corporate career about 8 or 9 years ago. So I started as a national franchise coordinator for Century 21, and then I've been a network manager for Rain & Hall, and now I'm the CEO for the Harcourts New South Wales ACT, and I'm very proud to hold that position.
And is there something that's always drawn you to the franchises? Because you sound like sort of you've always sort of been in a franchise model, or is it just ironic that that's the way it's happened?
I mean, my businesses that I've owned were franchise models. When we had five agencies out of Southwest Sydney. My last office, or I built a rent roll from scratch before I went into corporate, was an independent. It was called Just Home Rentals. And it was interesting when I built that, I had to build so much infrastructure myself. That was a little bit before the prop tech, and I really missed the community. I was proud of the business, and I had lots of ideas in my head that I was able to bring to fruition, but I missed the community. And so that's what I'm drawn to in terms of franchising, is the community that you're part of.
Yeah, excellent. I think that's one of the big concerns that we've got in the industry. Smaller operators, or over in WA, I'm seeing a lot of smaller operators get to sort of 100 properties, and then they're selling their rent roll because it becomes too much. And it does come down to the support, and also, I mean, even the support to employ new people or the confidence to do that. And it's a shame to see smaller businesses sell out to the larger businesses, even though, you know, I'm sure that you want to be promoting big businesses. But it's nice having the balance of the small ones around as well. But you're right, it's a community that they miss out on.
And you're right, that's exactly what happened to me. I felt very siloed and isolated. I think it was a moment when I was on a holiday that we hadn't taken for a very long time on Hayman Island, and I'm sitting there with my laptop around the pool doing a mid-month disbursement with my husband furiously shaking his, you know, because I'd promised him I'd switch off on this holiday, that it dawned on me that I had to scale up, or, you know, I couldn't do it all by myself, and I really didn't feel like I have a lot of support around me. So that's when I actually left on the tools.
We've all been there, done that on the holidays, and I've always said I'm just going to do just 1 hour in the morning just to clean my stuff up, and then 1 hour in the evening. And yeah, there's always a lot of eye rolls.
My husband's favourite saying is, it's just one quick email, 3 hours later. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. My children are now at the moment timing my phone calls. Like, I was on a phone call to someone last night, and they were like, show me the phone. And so I showed them, and it was like 49 minutes later, and I'm still going. They're like, come on, turn it off, close up the conversation. But it just, time gets away, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, we're here to serve our clients. So absolutely, I think we're drawn to this business where people, and look, there is, you know, we coach a lot of people, time management and understanding all of that. And, you know, the sacrifices we had multiple real estate offices when my children were little. I went back to work. He's 25 years old now, but I went back to work when Lachlan was 3 weeks old, a 3-week-old baby. and juggled all of that. So I'm really mindful, you know, he had key milestones with my mother-in-law, which was lovely to have the village helping me raise my child, but like, I can never get that time back. So I am, in my coaching capacity and my, you know, pairing and nurturing our network, I am very mindful. We give a lot of ourselves as real estate agents that we do think about those important moments in life, because if we miss them, we can't get them back.
Yeah. When you sold your, and I know we sort of weren't going to go down this road, but when you sold your portfolio, was that a hard decision to make and one that you sort of are happy that you did, or do you ever have any regrets?
Yeah, at the time it was just right for me, I think, in terms of where I wanted to go. Actually, interestingly, took a little bit of a different route when I sold that, because it was just my own portfolio and I had built it over the years of clients. I did have pockets of rentals in my sort of geographical location that I would manage, was about 1 hour from where I had based myself. So I didn't sell it as a whole. I actually packaged it up into those particular areas and went to agents that I had close relationships in those particular areas who I knew would look after my client. Because that was the hardest part, was giving back your clients that you've worked with over many, many years, they've trusted you for a long time, and back to me in my own independent business. So the way in which I went about selling it was really, really important to me, how we did that. And I wanted them to feel like they were being referred to an agent that I really trusted, as opposed to being traded like a commodity.
Yeah. I'm noticing that with the little businesses that are selling, they're selling to the bigger agencies. And then the client was originally drawn to that, to the small time, you know, service. And then as soon as they go to the bigger company and they find that they get a little bit lost, they generally leave. So I find that the retention, I don't think, would be as strong. And yeah, it's really important if you want to keep that retention to sell to someone who's similar mindset, like, I think.
And I'm really understanding it. I put a lot of time and effort in sort of how I did it as well, and the way in which I went about it too. And then, as I said, more like a referral than a sale. And that worked very well. And they felt, and I just was very transparent and explained where I was at, what I was going to do, and that, you know, it was time for me to have take a change in direction. And, you know, I'd worked every weekend for many, many years, 20 some years, and head into a corporate capacity. So I was really lucky, but equally very mindful. And, you know, I also understand that that's not always possible or utopia, that everyone gets that opportunity like I did, that I could package it up that way. But that worked really well for me.
Yeah, excellent. And so what does a day-to-day look like for you now?
So 1 month into a new role, so it's really dynamic and lots to learn. Something about my new team is that I'm part of a massive corporate team. So at Harcourts Australia, Harcourts International, we have a really huge corporate team. I was on a Zoom call today with an executive team across the world, and there was 90 people on there. So I'm part of a really big team and lots of people to draw upon and skill set. So I do lots of meetings. A lot of them are by Zoom still at the moment, although we are getting back into the office. I set my team up. So we want to understand, we have a meeting every Monday and we set up the week, the schedules, the office visit, because we have about 5 layers of support that we provide our business owners with. We want to make sure that that's structured, all of our schedules are cohesive in terms of flow and rhythm. So we're getting the support where they need it, who needs it, and the level of support that they need. So we set all of that up as well. We're doing a lot of rollouts at the moment, so making sure that we're across all of those product rollouts. We've got some key rollouts and putting the support infrastructure in place. So I probably shifted to more strategy as opposed to coaching, but I still love that and I sneak it in. I've got 2 days on the road this week, so I'm back on the road tomorrow and Friday, and I'll be back in the offices doing coaching as well. But I have my team that assists me with that side of things now.
Do you get the weekends off?
Well, I'm doing a master's degree at the moment, so no. Don't ask me if I go. It's always no. For 2 years I said it's no because and a bit of work, so I have to try and get my master's degree work done. And then I try and leave from about 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. That's when I think about the week ahead and review my diary and what we've got on. I like to write my thoughts down and then do a little bit of work then. But my husband plays cricket all day Sunday. So he's occupied.
Great. Yeah, perfect.
So, and I'm not nagging him. So it's great.
Yeah. No, perfect. Always find a partner that has a hobby is definitely my tip for any single lady out there. So strategy we have touched on, and I find this quite interesting because you know, in a franchise, you were lucky that you have got the ability to have layers for strategy. So you are responsible for passing it on. Would I be safe to say, like, that your, when you say your team, are they like general managers or area managers?
No, I have, yes, I have a general manager. I also have a POM, which is a property management operations manager. I have a BOM, which is a business operations manager. And I have a SOM, which is a state operations manager. I also have a state trainer, and we have an auction expert in the state as well. That's New South Wales specific. And then we have our national team, so our marketing resources and assets, support team, BX, CX, all of that, UX, all of that kind of stuff. But my team that I manage, so lots of layers of experience there. And, you know, we're really in terms of define those lanes. Stephen Hickson, who's my general manager, really experienced sales agent and business owner. So he picks up a lot of that sales coaching for me in the field. And Jess does our property management coaching as well. But we all sit down collectively as a team and we devise our strategy. So our strategy this year is the year of engagement strategy for New South Wales. It's about, after COVID, being back in the businesses. And everything we do is all about getting one more appraisal, one more listing, one more property management, and how we can help, you know, the businesses that we manage do that. So we collectively do that as a team, and then we plug in the layers of support based on the business plans that we build for our business owners.
Yeah, and then they would work with the business owners?
That's right. As I do too. I mean, mostly the planning stage I'll come in. So business planning is in, you know, should be in everyone's DNA. It's very much in Harcourt's DNA. Meaningful business planning sessions once every 12 months. They take a good 4 hours. We go through a very set process, looking back as to where you've been, where you are right now, where you want to get to, how, what are the steps we have to put in place, the actions, the goals, and then we're going to sit there and populate that plan. And that will be an overarching plan. The beauty of that and following this process, that then sets our benchmarks for our follow-ups in terms of our weekly phone calls, monthly check-ins, and quarterly reviews. So we can make those incremental adjustments to the plan because sometimes, yeah, different conditions and things like that. But more importantly, once we have that overarching plan for the business, that then I can meet with Jess and then we tie in. So their plan could be growth. So what does that look like for property management? Let's build those specific property management plans out. Let's build it out for the sales department. But equally, let's build a plan for every single person who works in that business. Let's sit down with them. It's their plan. It's got to be meaningful for them. Really understand their why. Understand as leaders and managers in a business how we can help people achieve that.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Today's wonderful sponsor is MyConnect, and we can't stress how much we love this company. We have used them in our business for years now, and they sync directly into our software. We literally do nothing. MyConnect are now just set up to contact tenants for utility connection as soon as they are uploaded as a new tenant in our system. And our team reaps the benefits of a generous rewards program. For every successful connection they offer to property managers, this fuels their Uber Eats Friday obsession. MyConnect guarantees that utilities are connected on the agreed day with a wide choice of suppliers for your clients. If you don't use MyConnect in your office for Tenant Utility Connect, definitely get these guys in to see how they can set you up.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, like, that's obviously one of the benefits of being in a franchise, that you like that support. I've never actually really listened to what that support looks like, and that's so good. And I think that where the struggle would be is the independence and the people that don't have that support. And I think that the on so many layers, like the layers from juniors in an office to seniors, and everyone's got this training, don't they? So like the juniors learn from the seniors hopefully have the support from the principal. But then where does the principal get their support from in an independent agency? And you guess you're going to get some principals that have a good network. They might be, you know, members of PM Collective, or over here we've got Perth Property Management Institute, and they have that support together where they can definitely make business plans and make sure that they're traveling on the right track in comparison to other business owners. But I don't think that's a common thing. Like, I do it. And I've got a group that do it, but I don't know if people think that. And I don't know whether it is, you know, without offending anyone, an egotistical sales rep mentality who generally, quite often, they own the business and they don't reach out and say, I want the support, or I want this, I want that. It's I guess the options like would be either joining a community or a mentor or a coach. Would you recommend that?
There's elements of that. And I guess if you're looking for a coach, it's that being very specific around, because some people definitely get coaches. And I've done lots of coaching as well, but I've coached on a specific issue, like where, you know, we're getting an auction listing, but we're not taking it through to auction or something like that. So we're, you know, I think it'd be about understanding that I really need this overarching plan. So it could be reaching out. You do need a facilitator. So I think it's important that you have someone come in, whether you're on your own or you've got a business partner, because they need to ask you some what if question. You know, I'm really curious, what if you did this, what would that look like? Now, great if they've got real estate experience, but equally sometimes a fresh lens. You know, other tapping into your business connections, your networking groups, the value of relationships has been so powerful for me. Successful people are so abundant with their time. Like, anyone's ever welcome to reach out to me, and I would always step them through the business plan, you know, at a high level, the business planning process, and try and connect them to someone who could facilitate for them, you know, if they're an independent, because I'm so passionate about why that is important for their business. And once they really, and I know people might think, oh, business plans, you know, boring, but if you do it the right way and it's a really interactive process where we really sit down very candidly, go through, ask the what if questions, and then populate what we need to do to achieve our goals, it's a game changer for your business. But it's also a skill that you now have that you can now work with your people. And, you know, grow the people, grow the business.
Yeah. I mean, I like what you said about being specific. So I think that having the facilitator, and I guess I never knew sort of what that word was, but a facilitator that could maybe come in and see where you're struggling, maybe find out your pain points, and then point you in the right direction of experts that could help. So maybe that is more one-on-one financial guidance or accounting. I mean, I personally sit with our accountant each month. Some people don't, and I haven't always done that in business. It's only something that we've done recently, but it's actually quite good in that I've now got someone who says to me, yes, you're going along the right track, or yes, you're having good months, or, you know, we can see good growth, or no, you're not. That's really great. And then I guess you've got, or maybe your pain point is more management, and it does mean that you get someone in to help be a general manager in the office, or maybe it's marketing or branding and you get a branding expert to help redo it. I guess they're the things that I think of from a specific point of view.
Yeah, it will point to which direction that is. And we've all been there and understand that we could be very successful in a particular space, even a great property manager or great, you know, I'm the new CEO, you're learning, but you have to be open and abundant. And first thing I do is go and ask lots of questions and reach out. We've got these really talented people in our international team, and I reach out, and, you know, one of the ladies straight away connected me with someone today who's really passionate in the industry, and I had a meeting today discussing growth. Now, that was because I reached out and said, hey, I'd be really interested. And she's like, I've got someone you should meet. So I think ask the question, because people will help you. Successful people are so abundant in helping you. So I think that's really important, knowing your numbers, but looking for them as well. There's great benchmarking figures out there. Like, where does your business stack up to other businesses? If you're an independent and not part of a network, and you're not probably getting some networking benchmarking, there's lots of great stuff out there. You know, Macquarie Bank does their pulse check report. There's lots of industry stats out there that you can get from your local real estate institutes and different places like that. So you could start with just getting a bit of a high-level view about, you know, you have to look at benchmarking in context, but it could even just be a quick little red flag. I mean, a little tip for me, and you probably know more better in the property management space, but if I walk into an office and the landline is ringing, like constantly, I'm worried a little bit, because the only people that typically ring an office now are tenants and landlords. All sales inquiries go straight through to a mobile phone. So I'm thinking, if that phone's ringing off the hook, are we not communicating to those people before they've got to ring us and get back to us? Do we have a problem with our closing our communication loop in the office? And that's something that I could be wrong, but I'm mindful of that straight away. So it's a little bit that I'm going to ask some what if questions, or I'm going to dive a little bit deeper and look at capacity, numbers, team, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, reach out and talk to other industry experts as well, because there might be some little red flags going off in your business that you're not even noticing at the moment.
No, that's right. And benchmarking is great. I mean, I call it positive comparisons. And whenever I sit down and have one of my roundtables, I like to say to people that the setting is to positively compare yourself. And you're either going to look at someone else and think, oh, that's actually quite a good idea. That might be something that could work for me. Or you look at what other people are doing and you go, actually, no, I'm actually really happy. I'm on the right track. I'm doing the right thing. So either way, you're getting something out of it, whether it's a new idea or just confirmation that you are on the right track. And I think that that's really important for people. And today when I just had my rookie round table, which was a table full of juniors, and it was good. You know, these girls, they have only worked in that one office. So for them, it's good to know, okay, well, you know, what is expected? How many hours should it take to do this report or that report? And I think that they can fall into a trap of, you know, we talked today about numbers and, you know, how many rentals you can manage. Do you think you can manage when you become a property manager? And they all sort of put down 85 to 100. And then I would say to them, where have you got that number from? Like, why is that your number? And they go, well, that's just what they do in the office. And it's, you know, being mindful, like that number might be absolutely 100% correct. But you, to understand the basis behind it, so it's so important, as opposed to just assuming that that's how many properties you manage, because that's what we do in the office. So we actually broke down the tasks together and worked out how many hours that would take. And, you know, yes, they were right, 85 to 100, you know, in our opinion, as an average, was a good amount of properties to manage as a property manager and someone who's only been in the industry for a couple of years. But at least they can go away feeling comfortable, I'm on the right track.
And I think that's a really interesting point. So, yeah, PALM's properties under management to staff ratio, gosh, we've talked about it over the years. And there's been times in my coaching career, I've been a huge advocate of it, and it's this and that, very rigid. But what I've come to understand is, it is a measure, like it could be a red flag for me if I'm going into a business just to think about capacity and staffing and things like that and efficiency. But it must be taken in context. You do need to understand the types of property we're managing, the geographical location. Is it a go-to-woe scenario in terms of account, you know, what tasks are they doing? Are we doing accounting? What other assistance are we getting in the office? The other thing I want to say about property management in terms of capacity and growth is I'm looking at figures now and profit margin, because we do always put a growth, you know, a figure. We want to grow by this much, which makes a lot of sense. And I'm not saying to completely deviate by that, but there's always the opportunity to reimagine your business about working a little bit smarter. Do we want to grow by, you know, 100 properties at our current average rental, which is, you know, $400 a week? Or do we want to position ourselves a little bit more premium and go after this lot of managements where we may only get 50 new, but it's at double the rent? So we're still increasing that profit margin, but in terms of capacity of numbers of properties we're renting, we don't need any more infrastructure or human resources. So keeping an eye on that profit margin and having some KPIs around that for growth as well is, you know, something that's been talked about a lot more in the industry, and it probably is at business owner level, but we still do get kind of bogged down on, you know, success looks like getting 100 properties a year or getting this or getting that. And, you know, we can go down a whole rabbit hole about low-hanging fruit and the quality of properties as well. Do we have a minimum standard? You know, all of that. Will we only take a property if A, B, C, you know, all of this kind of stuff. So I think, you know, and I love that when I benchmarking is transactional, isn't it? It's very, you know, your how you refer to it is much but more nurturing and a lovely context. So I think these are all really important tools that having someone with your experience, you know, a coach or a facilitator, sits down and puts them in context and allows you to walk away where you're feeling very comfortable about where you've landed right now and where you'd like to be and how we can get there. And that's from a business owner right down to someone who's very new in the industry. It applies to everybody.
Yeah, and definitely not underestimating the layers that, and for a business owner or a general manager to be somewhat transparent with the junior or the staff just to say, this is what we're aiming for. Right now, you've been in the industry, you've just started. So right now, your routine inspections might take you this long. But what we would like to see is that the efficiency increase and each inspection only take you this long. It's all about that strategy, that business strategy from the business owner doing it down to the junior or the staff member. It's about efficiency. It's about not having staff that are burnt out. And it's about respecting everybody's time and the money earned from that client as well. So, yeah, strategy is not just a business owner thing. I would expect that the business owner to be able to pass that on to the staff and then the senior staff to pass that on to the property managers as well. But it doesn't happen as much at the moment. I mean, I'm on a bit of a mission to try and open up that transparency, and even like today with this podcast, sort of bringing it to people's attention to be mindful of it and to be aware that, and also for staff to take responsibility. Like if you think that you are taking far too long to do something, then speak to your boss and say, listen, I'm just conscious that this isn't really a great way of using my time because it's taking me this long and I think I should be able to do it quicker. You know, can we look at this option or that option? Like, but don't just always rely on the boss as well. I feel like, you know, we're in a world we can sort of have those conversations.
I absolutely agree. And sometimes we need other people to reimagine the business. And people will get tired of me. I say this all the time, but I'm, you know, this filter bubble, because sometimes you just get yourself, you're focused on something, you've got a lens and you're a business owner and you're looking at a perspective. We've always done it that way. You're not really good at property management, so you can't imagine it any other way. But if there is a problem or an inefficiency, I want to know about it, but I would love if you came with a couple of solutions as well. We might not land directly on the first one, but we can work together around it. And the issue is if we don't solve that inefficiency, you know, as a leader, often in my own businesses and things, I would have team members say, look, we need an assistant. But what I needed to work out was it an extra person, an assistant, or was it assistance? Because our process wasn't right and we're just being inefficient. Because if I didn't fix that to start with, then putting more people on wasn't going to solve the problem anyway, because we're still being inefficient in how we did it. So I think you're right, but it comes down to having really transparent conversations so we all feel really comfortable to be in an environment that's a lessons learned and we could say, look, we did this, we're doing this, it's not really working well. We went to some training or we went to a round table and someone from was saying they do this or they use this tool or they, you know, and opening our minds or putting a suggestion in that perhaps we could implement that within the business.
Yeah, 100%. And I think as well, like it's not good enough these days just to say, you know, I've got too much work. I would definitely challenge someone who says that they've got too much work or working too many hours to be more specific than that. Is it too many emails? Is it too many ingoing reports? Is it too many routines? Is it too many phone calls? What is it that's too much? Like break your task down into categories and instead of looking at it as a whole, work out what one is too busy and then focus on efficiencies within that area to see if that can lighten your load. And then when that's done, if you're still feeling like you're too busy and you're still working ridiculous hours, okay, what else is it that's taking up the time? What do you think is you know, over and above the time limit, you know, for that task? And then focus on that. But you've got to really specify it all.
Well, it's kind of, you know, that we've all heard SMART goals and things like that. But really, if you don't use it, and it's about breaking down a problem in the same way by being very specific about it. And it could be that, you know, and we've all been responsible for it, that we're creating that inefficiency because we're holding on to something or, you know, something like that. So really understanding what if we lighten that load if you know, we let go of this or what does that look like? And I think that's really smart. Also, sometimes it feels like a mountain that's too far to climb. I don't know how to fix that. So by attacking it one little piece at a time and making some incremental changes, it's easy to do in terms of getting some buy-in as well, because that change management piece can also be tricky in any kind of business. So I think it's a really clever way, and it could be the fact that if you do break it down to those components, it's only one part of it that is causing, so, you know, it may be not such a huge big problem, it could just be that one small the emails, or let's get a different strategy for that. And then, you know, we're seeing a lot of time being freed up. So I think that's a really efficient way of tackling a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, benchmarking and strategies is definitely, I think, what will be the topic for today. And if you are not fortunate enough to be in a franchise where you have, you know, the Katrina and Tarrants to help with all that, then, you know, obviously look at getting a facilitator, a coach, someone who can help work out what you need. And then there's also...
I would really encourage, you know, that get that overarching plan, but have someone that's in it, a buddy, that accountability, I can't get the words out today, buddy, that will keep you on track in that as well. And we're checking at those checking points, you know, making sure we make little adjustments. So someone, another saying that anyone who knows me has heard this 1,000 times, one of my first business coaches when I was a young principal and the mountain felt too big for me to climb, he said to me, "Kat, how many times do you think a plane is off course from Sydney to LA?" And I'm like, "Planes are off course? I don't know." Yeah. And he said, it was an extraordinary figure. I can't remember what it was now, but say huge, like 1,500. And I'm like, "Really?" And he said, "Yes, but the navigation system in an aircraft makes tiny incremental adjustments to constantly keep the plane on track or on course. And that's what we're going to do with your group. We'll keep checking in with you and we'll make small adjustments so we're not saber toothing." Because I was sort of, it was all great, and what, you know, and that has stuck with me for 25 years. So I urge anyone to try and look at it like that way. Let's keep an eye on it and just make little adjustments, because we won't always get it right, or things will change that are out of our control. So we need someone to keep us accountable for that. So if we can build that mechanism in, your plan will be meaningful, but you'll also achieve your goals and make those little changes or little tweaks. But reach out, industry people, business groups, you know, join networking groups, tap in. Our industry is so beautiful. There's so many people, because you learn by facilitating as well. So I can assure you that I get more from the real estate industry than I could ever give back to it in my whole career. So I encourage people who think, "Oh, maybe I could help someone with that," put your hand up and be the facilitator, because you'll learn a lot from it as well.
Absolutely. Katrina, it's been lovely chatting with you today. Thank you for coming on board. And I guess, you know, if anyone wants to reach out to you, they can do that through your Julie.
On LinkedIn, anything, just give me a call. If you've got a question, something I can help with anyway, even if you want a, you know, quick idea of how we would run you through that strategy, we're always happy to help. It's about growing our whole industry as a whole.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Sensor Global saves lives with automatic compliance and manages smoke alarms, gas and water leak detection with 24/7 remote management. It provides complete control, reduced risks and improved compliance for property managers. To find out more, speak to Anthony Booth or head over to sensorglobal.com.